grace and mercy be yours in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our text is the lesson just read, and we'd like to focus on its final verse. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. How are you at waiting? For most of us, that can pose a real challenge. As when you go to the store to get some milk and bananas and end up in the line behind the person that has clipped every conceivable coupon and requires to be checked with respect to date and validity, and then culminates that saving action by paying with a check so that you need to have your driver's license seen as well. It's hard to wait, isn't it, when we have important things to do. In fact, it can be hard for pastors to wait, and seminarians and professors. I have a classmate, a good pastor, who spends whatever time is needed with his flock. If they need him in their home, he is there, not simply in a perfunctory way, but he can spend hours if the need is critical. But take that same pastor and put him behind the wheel of a car, and if the car ahead of him doesn't go when the light turns green, he becomes indignant and outrageous in his anxiety and his eagerness to get ahead. How are we at waiting? Today's text calls us to a very central form of waiting that entails also a preparedness for the arrival of the Son of Man. Not only Luke, but all the Gospels are punctuated by admonitions and by stories that alert Christ's people, be alert, wait, be prepared. And how can we do that when we are so easily impatient? Let me suggest, as we begin another quarter, awaiting with all the saints the return of the Lord, that such waiting should not only come naturally to us, but it should fill us with profound delight. How can this be? To wait and to expect day after day and hour after hour. Quite simply, I would argue that time is different for you and for me. To be sure, the calendar measures our days and our weeks and our years, but for us who know the Son of Man, the character, the content of our time is radically different. In the moment of our baptism, time was transformed for us. Transformed because now we were joined to Christ's death and to his glorious resurrection. In that moment, the character of time changed. Now it is no longer inexorable and inevitable that time, like the world around us, poses a threat and signals that our lives are being spent until one day they will be extinguished. No, the content and character of your time is different. It's defined by the one who was at creation, the one who came to us in his incarnation, and the one whom we await in his great consummation. The content of your time and my time, by the gracious floods of baptismal water, is quite simply Christ. He and his life define who you are and who I am. forgiven, absolved, innocent by virtue of his presence, his atoning death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, our time, especially here at the seminary, is to be filled with him, his word, his real presence. What a difference that makes as we wait. Now we know the one who is coming. Reflect for a moment, if you will, upon how we can become preoccupied with the peripheral. Imagine, God forbid, that we were threatened, as some cities have been, by anthrax, and that suddenly our mail room became the focus of an investigation. Think how carefully we would look at mail. Think how many of our thoughts would turn that way, and how we would see our very life perhaps endangered by walking even in the vicinity of the mail room. What energy we would muster to be safe. Well, we have not a threat, but a promise. And we have more than a promise, we have the presence of him who has come and who is coming. And that glorious presence, so beautifully portrayed in the prophets and apostles, is with us daily in his absolution, his water, his wine, and his word. His character is unlike any other. How long we have hoped to see him, and we see him in his word, and how we long and hope for that day when we will see him as he is, at the Father's right hand in glory. To await such a wonder is not a burden. It's a great calling. It's a vocation. To look and to long for the one who will be eager to wipe every tear from our eye, who will deliver us from the struggle against Satan, the world, and our own fallen flesh. To wait and to be ready for Christ is the most meaningful and full life that we can have. Indeed, he fills that life with his character. It is his story that we now live out rather than our fallen and fatal narratives. We will not grasp at things that fade, but rather through his gift of faith we will cling to that holy presence that delivers from every calendar to the endless life of God. We announce such a radical and wonderful view of time when we worship. When we come here and confess, we are challenging this world's calendars, because here we are waiting and we are praying that the Lord will come. We know him, his wonder, his grace, his innocence, his compassion. We have each felt it personally and have tasted it with our lips. And so now we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.